Appreciate the opportunity to speak this morning. Before I get into this, just want to let you know that Brian told me he drew the short straw. Bill and Kirby knew this was happening, so they got up and left. So but, Brian got the short straw. Sorry about that. Yeah, appreciate it. The other thing I want to say is do my best this morning to make sure Larry looks indispensable. So I think there's no problem there. So I'd like to speak this morning on the value of a Christian life. And this will be a refresher and an encouraging lesson to all of us, because we see this personally in everyone here, in the work that goes on, the encouragements, the prayers, the work that is accomplished here makes this very special. But it's something that we need to continue to remind ourselves of every day of our lives, because it is at the core of what we are. And to continue to remind us of the hope that we have in heaven through the sacrifice of our Lord. So to that end, there are some characteristics that I wanted to go through of a Christian life. These will be very obvious, very personal, and very familiar to each and every one here. Reminded of what Paul wrote in Philippians 3:14, that he pressed toward the mark of his calling, as do we. So we've got a lot of scriptures here. You're welcome to follow along, or you're welcome to listen as we get into this. At some point in time, when I get the nod or something that's obvious that I've gone too long, we'll stop and continue on with in the second half. So there are a set of standards, of characteristics that I wanted to review. The first one of these is a Christian is honest. You've heard the phrase, our word is our bond. And that used to have perhaps a lot more meaning in our society when we were growing up and perhaps now. But nevertheless, it is just as important now as it has always been. In Romans 12, verse 17, Paul writes, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. In 2 Corinthians 8, 21, providing things honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Hebrews 6, verse 17 through 19, thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. 1 Peter 3, verse 10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Another characteristic of honesty is speaking the truth. In Ephesians 4, verse 25, Paul writing, therefore, put away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. In Ephesians 6, verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Reminded of the conversation that Pilate had with Jesus shortly before he was condemned. So there's a truth that Jesus came to bear witness of, which he's mentioned to Pilate. Something that is absolute, something that is greater than each and every one of us, something that transcends our limited ability to understand the full nature of God and of Jesus. Pilate's simple response was, "What is truth?" Which is characteristic of many people. If it is not something that drives us, something that is demonstrated in our lives, something that we know is absolutely true because God said so, then it becomes transparent and as unimportant as it was to Pilate. The Christian is law-abiding. So to be law-abiding, a Christian is a good citizen by nature. In Romans 13, verse 1 through 5, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Titus 3, verse 1 and 2, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. 1 Peter 2, verse 13 through 17, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So through being law-abiding, we are obedient. The Christian is obedient by conscience, is in an innate drive in them to do those things which are right, whether it's written down in laws of stone or not. In Romans 2, verse 12 through 15, for as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these also, not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So there is an ability, if we are driven and controlled by God's word, if we are true, faithful members of Christ and of his church, then we develop a mind that has a conscience that is that recognizes those things which are right and wrong in absolute terms. And those things are complementary and aligned with the laws of this land. And if it comes to the point where they're not, God's law is supreme. The Christian is moral. He knows what is good and he behaves accordingly. Micah 6, verse 8, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Romans 13:13, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. James 4, verse 17, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. The Christian has personal integrity. Hebrews 12, verse 12 through 14, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 through 22. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And then lastly, 2 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. What a great statement from the Apostle Paul for his care and love for the church. The Christian is loving. He or she loves God and keeps his commandments. in Mark 12, verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. In John 15, verses 9, beginning with verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. 1 John 2, verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. 1 John 5, verse 1 through 3, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. The Christian loves others. Mark 12, verse 31, and the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. John 13, verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Galatians 6, verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Christian is compassionate. Proverbs 25, verse 21 and 22, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 7, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Colossians 3:12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. 1 Peter 3, verse 8 and 9. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. It's a wonderful thing about the congregation here. This is demonstrated for each of us to see every time we assemble. Every time something happens, someone is there to show compassion, to do what needs to be done. A Christian is humble, submits to the will of God. Psalms 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Luke 7, 28, for I say to you, Among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Christian submits to God's will. Puts others first. Okay, so I didn't finish the thought. So 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4, 6 and 7. And then lastly, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Puts others first. And the second, Mark 12, 31, like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Luke 7, verse 44 through 48. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see the woman? I enter your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet in her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not cease to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. John 13, 35, but by this all we know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Galatians 6, verse 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Therefore, as we have opportunity, verse 10, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Christian is courageous. He resists temptation. Psalms 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. 2 Peter 2, verse 9. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Christian stands for the truth. Philippians 1, verse 27 through 30. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here in me. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13 and 14, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love. Ephesians 3, verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10 and following, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, and you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And forgiven. Ephesians 1, verse 7 and 8, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christian forgives. If you forgive men your trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. Ephesians 4, 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 3, verse 12 and 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also must do. Duane's made this comment several times about the desire and willingness and the confidence that each one has here in forgiving one another. Is a very refreshing thing to see in the church. We're going to pause here and pick up here in the next segment. This time we'll offer the invitation for those who would wish to obey the gospel, or those who wish in the prayers of the church. Either the case, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.